Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. The chemical industry is notoriously secretive. Rules governing what chemical companies can sell and how safe their products have to be can be complicated and opaque. Now, activists have released tens of thousands of documents detailing how chemical companies operate behind the scenes. They're known as the poison papers, and the people who publish them say they represent a running timeline of fraudulent science and regulatory collusion between pesticide companies and the government. The documents were published by the Biosciences Resources Project and a watchdog group called the Center for Media and Democracy. Dr. Jonathan Latham is executive director of the Biosciences Resource Project, and he says the evidence of collusion is clear.
It weighs 3.5 tons almost, and it is approximately 20,000 documents. So these documents are anything from letters to lengthy reports. And what it covers is the activities of the chemical industry roughly between the late 60s primarily and the middle 90s. It basically covers issues like chemical contamination with dioxins, which has to do with Agent Orange. It has to do with herbicide spraying. It has to do with PCBs that are in many, many waterways and states are suing about. And it has to do with pesticides in general.
And how many chemical companies are we talking about included in the documents?
Pretty much every chemical company that existed at that time.
What's shown in these documents about how not only companies handled what they knew about the toxicity of these chemicals, but also how the government handled it?
Well, you know, what's really interesting about these documents is how the government handles all these issues. So, you know, the main protagonist in this is the EPA because they're responsible for chemical safety. And what you see is persistent efforts by the EPA to resist the knowledge that many of these chemicals are extremely dangerous. When EPA staffers, for example, report on hazards to their superiors, the superiors don't want to do anything about it. Or when they find that fraudulent testing has been submitted to them, they don't want to do anything about it. Because basically, if you have to do something about it, you have to pass it up the line. And eventually, up the line means to the senior administrator of the EPA, and then they have to have the president standing behind them if they actually want to take decisive action against a toxic chemical or a series of toxic chemicals. And everyone knows that's not going to happen. And so basically, bad news doesn't travel in the agency, and so you end up with a closet full of skeletons, and that's what is in those papers.
Well, let's get specific about an instance or two. What are some of the most disturbing revelations that you saw when it came to a lack of desire or an inability to regulate something that everybody knew was dangerous?
I mean, there's some classic documents in those papers. So, for example, there is the transcript of a meeting that took place between senior EPA people and basically all the representatives of the chemical industry. They allowed two representatives of each chemical company. And basically, the meeting was to decide what to do about a chemical testing fraud that had been discovered by FDA. And it became public knowledge, and so EPA had to do something about the fact that a chemical company, testing company called IBT, was submitting fraudulent tests. You know, big companies like Monsanto were basically submitting all their testing through this company, and it was responsible for 30 or 40% of all chemical safety testing that was going on in the country at the time. And, you know, the consequences of throwing out all these tests was enormous. And so EPA met the chemical companies and they said, we'll kick the can down the road and give you a chance to resubmit studies and so forth. In the meanwhile, you're not telling the public that the chemicals that they're using in their households and yards and are in their food basically have completely unsound tests behind them. In some cases, 100% of the chemical tests were unsound.
Is there any way to know how many people might have been sickened or even died because of it?
We're talking about a very large number of people. I mean, we know that many of these chemicals reduce people's IQ, for example. So we know that these chemicals are present in the food supply and in the environment at levels in which they're likely to explain the cancer epidemics, the mental health problems, and many other illnesses that we have.
Well, these hundreds of thousands of documents that we're talking about come from mostly one person named Carol Von Strum. Who is Carol Von Strum, and how did she come to accumulate all of this material that's so damning to so many corporations and also to regulators?
The story began when her family was sprayed from the air by forest sprayers in Oregon. And, you know, what they started noticing was fish dying. Their children became sick. They became sick. The neighbors reported that they were sick. And basically, they were being sprayed with Agent Orange. You know, a lot of these documents come from FOIA requests. So herself and her husband were basically chasing up all the different lines of evidence. And they persuaded the EPA to do testing. And they were finding high levels of dioxins and other chemicals and knowing full well that in large part they came from this testing program. And yet they sat on this data and in many cases denied that it existed.
Do you anticipate any major reforms, any changes in policy now that the public and lawmakers are going to be able to see the depth of the fraud that's been going on?
You know, there are some things that we would really like to see come out of this. You know, there's evidence, for example, that 2,4-D that Dow makes contains dioxins. The companies and EPA have already always been in denial that many pesticides on the market today still contain dioxins. But, you know, there's a systemic problem here. If you think about the structure of the EPA, right, it's basically judge, jury, prosecutor, and rulemaker all at the same time for toxic chemicals. It has basically complete power over the system. And so basically what would need to be done is to remove the internal institutional conflicts of interest. You know, the moment, most people think, oh, if I only ban this one chemical, that things will improve. But if the system is wrong, then any replacement chemical is likely to have just as many or more problems with it as the old one did. And so you end up on a pesticide treadmill in which neonicotinoids are replacing organophosphates, which replace DDT, which replace lead arsenic. And basically all these substitutes, each one is arguably worse than the ones that came before.
Dr. Jonathan Latham is executive director of the Bioscience Resource Project, which co-published the Poison Papers. Dr. Latham, thank you.
Thank you, Todd.
We reached out to the EPA for a comment on this story. We haven't heard back as of Monday morning.